You are now listening to the Shu'em Soul Experience.
Welcome to the Shu'em Soul Experience. My name is Stefan. I'm your host for the show. And the show always consists of two parts. The second part of the show is always a shamanic ritual in which you're very welcome to participate when you're at home or wherever you are. And in the first part, I would like to talk a little bit further about the subject of last week, which was death and the process around dying. Because I think this process can teach us a lot about, you know, what life is about and how you can more effectively and harmoniously live within your life. Because if you look at the process of dying, if you look at that at an energetic point of view, I think you could sort of say that, you know, you exist right now also as being. And being is a very open, clear, non-defined state. It's just being. Awareness, or however you want to call that. And within this being aware of awareness, you know, the whole universe arises for you. Material impulses, which you participate in with your body, you know, with the senses. Mind impulses, or what we call thought. Soul impulses, what we call feelings. And impulses from the layer of spirit, or the defining, or the will sort of quality. And if you look from an energetic point of life, of view, you could really see that life is, your human life is entirely built up from these four fields. And you can clearly see that matter, which has most structure, and right on top of that is mind. And mind still has a lot of structure. You know, thoughts are fairly structured, but they're not so solid as body perception. This matter has this solidity in it. And on top of mind is soul. And soul is the field of feelings. And feelings are not so structured. You know, one feeling flows over in the other feeling. It's more like water. So it's not so defined in form. And on top of that you have spirit. And spirit is very much like gas. It's very thin. And because it's so gas-like, it can, you know, get everywhere. It can influence everything, every field underneath it. And if you look at the process of dying, I think you can see that the first thing that drops away is the thing with most structure, which is body. If you ever seen a dead body, you know, it's very clear that the one who, which body that is, has lost his ability to participate within the material field. You know, the body is there, the inhabitant, so to speak, is not there anymore. And mind, or thought, will go very quick after matter has gone. And that leaves you within the field of soul or feelings. And normally in life, soul or feelings gets fed all the time by living, by circumstances, meeting people, there comes new information, new feelings. So soul gets fed all the time. And besides that, we have mind, the thinking, which really distracts us from everything we perceive within the field of feelings. So when these two ways of experiencing life drop away, you end up in soul, which is feeling. And I think if you look in the world about how people deal with these processes around dying, you can really see a clear distinction between the Western way and, let's say, the more tribal way. in more traditional cultures, you see that, for instance, you die, they bring you to the funeral place, they walk you to that place, you know, from one way from the village to the funeral place, and they walk you back another way in the hope you don't find a way back. And when they come back, you know, they have a party and they talk bad about you. And this is not because they don't love you, but it's to make clear to the departed one, that, hey, listen, your turn is over. Because that's a fact. Whether you love somebody or you don't love somebody, it's not relevant. Over is, well, in this case, clearly over. And I think it's very important for the people who are left behind that they can go on living a life, you know, a life in a new form, for instance. And for the departed one, it's also very important because your whole universe, when you die, is a soul universe. And when you're attached, and attached is always in feelings, we are attached to feelings. So when you're attached to your possessions, your partner, your life, so to speak, you know, you get stuck within this feeling. You can't move on. And I think that's what, for instance, the Tibetans call the bardos. This is all these soul states or states or states of feelings in which you have to digest, so to speak, your attachment until all the energy you've put in this attachment has run out and yeah, you're free of it. And in a traditional culture, they know this and they try to help you by giving it shape in a way that you know that you have to let go. That the departed one knows he has to let go, and that, so to speak, the family or the people who are left behind know they have to let go. And I know from my own experience a few examples. For instance, I had this one male client, was a man in his 50s, and he still couldn't find a girl. And you know, if I looked at the energetic level, I could clearly see that his departed mother didn't approve of any of the girls. So that's what I mean, you know, getting stuck and you have to go on with your life. It's not healthy when your departed mother is still conducting your life. So in my tradition, we have these death wakes, we call them. And it's a ritual specifically meant to dissolve these bonds so that the living and the departed one can move on. And it's very significant what the family says, and the family who has been present with the ritual. Of course they feel sorrow because they lost somebody they love. But they also say more or less something like, it's over, it's done, it's round, it's okay like this. Although we feel this pain, it's you know, it's complete, it's round. And you see that back because when you talk to these people afterwards, you know, maybe a year after, they clearly could much more easily move on with their life. Because although you have this sadness, you know, you have to move on. Tomorrow you have to go to your job, you have to take care of your kids, whatever. So I think it's very important to dissolve that. For the living and for the departed one. And in relation to this, I think this whole notion about, for instance, what we call past lives is, in my experience, is very different than what you in general hear and read about it. Now, if you look at your core of your being, you can notice that you are awareness, which is completely non-personal. It's apersonal. You could say that the core of the personality is non-personal. So when there is no person, who is exactly reincarnating then? I think if you look from an energetic point of view, I think you could more say that life endlessly manifests itself within consciousness. And if you think, for instance, about haunted houses and that sort of thing, I had a few cases in the years that I've been doing this work. I think what's in the house in general is not a departed person. 90 out of 100 times, it has nothing to do with the past life of whoever, but it has a lot to do with the emotion of the people who actually live there. You can imagine when there's a lot of unspoken tension, that this tension manifests itself in all sort of strange phenomena or strange atmospheres. And at times I found something which was not from the inhabitants which are alive now. I found it in general, it's not a person which is hanging there, but it's the emotion from the person who is, who has lived there, for instance. Or to give another example, if you buy a chair, a very nice, beautiful chair, in which somebody who has been depressed has been sitting for 80 years, you do not necessarily have to feel very good when you're in there. It's not because the guy is still sitting there, no, of course not. It's still the emotion which attached itself to, in this case, the chair, or to a localization, for instance, a room, or a bend in the road where accidents happen every time. Nobody knows why, but at that spot all the time accidents happen. I think has a lot to do with lingering emotions from lives which has been led. And although you might experience them as your lives, I don't think it's necessarily the case. And I more see life as a sort of continuous wave of manifesting and dissolving manifestation. So, in my experience, it's more like a life manifests, it withdraws, it loses its shape entirely. That's why what I mean with, the departed has to move on, you have to dissolve entirely. And when you are gone, so there is no more what we call I, then being, it's not your being, because being is non-personal, being is existence. You cannot have your being, there's just being. This being manifests again within another form, which we might call a life, as long as it is manifested. So it's more like this tide of manifesting and dissolving, or going from non-being into being, but it's still this manifesting and dissolving tide. And in that sense, there is nobody there. There's just this being, which you are, which everybody is, which everything is, which manifests and dissolves. And, as a matter of fact, it's quite beautiful. And that's why all traditions stress to try to be non-attached. Because when you're attached, you try to hold on to something, to a feeling or to a wealth or status or whatever, you try to hold on to something. And life is not holding on, life is permanently moving, is permanently manifesting and dissolving. So by trying to hold on to something, you create a lot of friction within yourself, because you try to hold on to something which will change anyway, because you cannot stop that. also see that, for instance, in our trainings, we have special lessons about death and dying. For instance, when you, let's say, visit the realm of death, you can clearly see there are many, let's say, souls who are stuck, who are still stuck within this field of feelings in which they are still, you know, trying to get rid of a feeling to which they are attached. And a classical shamanic task is to dissolve this attachment to soul, so that the one, or let's say, that the manifestation can dissolve again within being or non-being, however you want to call it. And when it's completely dissolved, it can manifest again. But first it has to dissolve. And that's why you have all these rituals around it, traditions around it. It's to help to dissolve them. And that's why all traditions stress to live. Try to live in a beautiful way. Try not to be attached and not to be selfish, not to be hard or to create all sort of heavy emotions, because first of all they hinder you in your daily life, you know, they'll influence the way you perceive life, and it will be your only reality after you departed. So, you know, if you are unethical, you're punishing yourself. There's nobody else you're punishing, or yeah, of course your victims, but you know, there's not an eternal revenge or whatever. No, it's just like you created a certain consequence for yourself within the realm of soul, and well, that's what you will meet. You meet it now, but now there's distraction, and the moment the distraction is gone, you're just, well, you know, stuck with that feeling. And then you have to get ready, you have to dissolve that feeling. But you have no mind, you have no body, you cannot think about it, you just have the emotion. So that might take a while. And in that while, you just are stuck within that feeling. That's what they say, you know, it keeps on repeating in an eternal loop. It's because you're stuck in that emotion. So I think it's wise, first of all, for your life and all everything and everybody around you, to try to live to a certain ethics. And these are just the basic things, you know. And try not to create disharmony within your feelings. It doesn't mean, you know, be always nice. Of course, you don't always have to be nice. But you should try to avoid creating that sort of consequence for yourself. Because you will meet that. You cannot escape that. How could you escape yourself? It's impossible to do. And I think that's why, you know, religions and traditions tell you or advise you to live in an ethical manner. And it's up to you, because you will be the one facing, you know, the consequence of your own being. Not because there's a revengeful God, no, because you created that yourself. And that's why, as a healer, you try to dissolve all these attachments in mainly in feeling, you know. You're stuck within anger, within pain, within these things. And I think it's easier to dissolve when you're alive than when you're dead. Now you still have mind, your body, you can, you know, call in help or do something about it. And that's what a healer does. You try to dissolve this emotional stuckness of your client. And then you will see when this emotional charge is dissolved that you get a different base in life, because feelings determine very much your life, the quality of your life and how you experience it. Plus it makes it much easier after you've departed to dissolve back into this being or non-being, however you want to define that for yourself. So, try to let go. It's the main thing. Just try to let go. And have trust. And then I think now it's about time for our shamanic ritual, which we perform every week during the broadcast. And this ritual is specifically meant to dissolve attachment, to dissolve or to free your attention from all the things that occupy your mind and your soul all the time, all the things that, you know, catch your attention. And lead your attention away from all these things that you've grabbed. Get your attention away from there and lead it to this wide open state of being, which is wide open, clear, silent, very pleasant being, which you are. It's nothing you can obtain, it's something that you are, which you forget all the time. And by participating in this ritual, it's easier for you to just let go of whatever occupied your mind. You do not have to do anything special for that. And what we advise is, just sit down or lay down with your headphones on. Close your eyes, because it's an inner experience. If you're browsing meanwhile, or, I don't know what else you can be doing, your attention is divided, of course, and you will have, a less intense experience of it. So just sit down, lay down, close your eyes, and let the ritual take you to this peaceful, harmonious state which you are. And you do not have to experience anything specific or spectacular. Could be, not necessarily. But just about everybody notices that the more you get to the end of the ritual, the more peaceful you will be. And this peacefulness is one of the properties of this openness. Because the things that arise is all this busyness, and it arises within openness. So just sit down or lay down, open up, don't think about it, just try to flow with the ritual. And the ritual consists of parts in which I will make some sound or music, depending on your taste, and parts which will be silent. And so silent part doesn't mean it's finished, it just means, it's a silent part. The ritual ends with a bell, so you know when it's finished. And that will also, in general, conclude the show. And there's one notion I would like to give, is that in case you're driving a vehicle, please do not listen to the ritual, because you might get into a lightly altered state, and I don't think that's very beneficial when you're driving a car, for instance. So please don't do that. And you can always listen to the show or to the ritual on our website. It's there every week, so you can listen to it whenever you want. So I hope you enjoy it. And if you have any questions, any remarks, suggestions, or whatever you want to share with us, please feel free to contact us. The jingle will tell you about the website and how you can get into contact with us. I hope you have a nice ritual and a nice week, and enjoy your life.
Please visit our website at shuemsoulexperience.com. Shuem, S-H-U-E-M.
too.
Please visit our website at shuemsoulexperience.com. Shuem, S-H-U-E-M.